Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, June 17th. All you fathers out there had a nice Father's Day yesterday. And we're covering just about everything that went on over the weekend. We had some wrapping up the Thunder Valley Nationals down in Bristol. I couldn't quite get down there after what happened last week with all the rain and stuff. Had to tend to stuff around the yard. But anyway, you know, would love to have gotten down there and watching our past guest, Erica Enders, get all the way to the finals. And it would have been a great down there. Of course, NASCAR was out in Michigan International Speedway with the Nationwide Series and the Cup Series. They ran out there. Of course, we'll talk more on that with Greg Biffle getting the win and Jimmy Johnson running real good up until the end there. And then we'll talk a little bit about that. I have a guest coming up in about 15 minutes. Scheduled to make his Sprint Cup debut in the number 36 for Tommy Baldwin Racing this coming Sunday out of Sonoma. It'll be Victor Gonzalez Jr., driver from who lives in the Dominican Republic, so he'll be the first Caribbean driver to make a Sprint Cup start. So we'll talk to the history maker in a bit. And we'll see what he has to say. Of course, made a few starts in the Nationwide Series over the past several years, and including, I think, has one oval track start at Phoenix, but other than that, he's ran Circuit de Gilles Villeneuve as well as Watkins Glen and Road America. So he's got some road course experience. Makes him a road course ringer, but Tommy Baldwin giving Victor a start in the Cup Series, so we'll see what he can do. We'll talk to him about that, and he'll join Juan Pablo Montoya as the only other Hispanic driver in the Sprint Cup Series. So let's start off with the NHRA and the Thunder Valley Nationals out at Bristol. And the we'll start at Top Fuel Ladder. That was won by Steve Torrence over Spencer Massey. Massey had been the number one qualifier, including the low ET of the weekend with a 3.775, and he had the top speed of the weekend at 326 miles an hour. So, but he advanced from the first round with Doug Hebert, who broke, facing Brittany Force in the second round. And, of course, went on to face Morgan Lucas in round three and went to the finals against Steve Torrence. Torrence, on the other hand, faced Leah Pruitt in round one. He was a second qualifier. Round two, he went up against our past guest and the winner from last weekend, Sean Langdon. Round three, he went up against Clay Milliken and wound up facing Massey in the final and beat him with the 3.87 to a 3.89. So it was a couple hundredths of a second there gave him the victory. On to the funny car round. It's been a while, but I think the first race of last year, John Force wound up getting to the final versus one of his former nemesis, Cruz Pedregon, and the way that went, Pedregon went up against Tim Wilkerson in round one and had to face Chad Head in round two. Del Horsham in the semifinals. And John Force had to beat young his daughter Courtney. Then faced Matt Hagen in the second round, the defending champ. Round three went up against Blake Alexander. And in the finals, smoked Cruz Pedregon with a 4.14 to a 4.33. That's a big round. In the funny card, first round win over daughter was a 4.12 to a 4.13, so he barely got ahead, beat her. Beat Hagen by a 300th of a second, 4.16 to 4.19. Up against Blake Alexander with a 4.11 to a 4.19. That's a whooping right there, too. John Force's day sure was yesterday, Father's Day. At Thunder Valley takes home the Wally. It's good to see John back in the winner's circle. Hopefully we can get them back on. They've been a little tough to get this year. I don't know why, but they haven't joined us this year. Pro Stock in the car was Roger Brogdon winning over Erica Enders. It was a real close one there. But Edwards wound up beating J.R. Carr. Brogdon wound up beating V. Gaines to face Mike Edwards and then beat Mike Edwards up against Jason Lyne and beat him to get into the finals. And then Erica had a good day going because she wound up beating Larry Morgan and then facing Jake Coughlin in the second round. And going up against Greg Anderson in the semifinals, who's always tough to beat. They have a little battle going on there. Of course, Anderson being the first one that she beat in the final round last year to get her first ever Pro Stock Wally. And she wound up losing to Roger Brogdon by a hundredth of a second. So it was a tight race there. Reaction time, she had better at a .04, Brogdon's .045. And his car was just a little quicker going down there with a 6.745 to Erica's 6.752. So that takes care of a bit of our NHRA wrap-up as we await our guest. Victor Gonzalez, right, making the Sprint Cup debut. And in the IndyCar series, they were out at the Milwaukee Mile, and it turned out to be Ryan Hunter-Reay taking over as a second consecutive win out there. And he wound up beating Elio Castroneves. Will Power came in third. E.J. Visso was fourth. James Hinchcliffe was fifth. Scotty Dixon was sixth. Takuma Sato, 7th, Dario Franchitti, 8th. 9th was Justin Wilson. Tony Kanaan was 10th. I'm trying to get him on the show, but he's got a busy week going on. Of course, having a busy few weeks, I should say, after winning the Indianapolis 500 a couple of weeks ago. So maybe when his schedule calms down a little bit, we'll be able to get him for either an interview or live. We'll see what we can do on that one. So, the pole winner for the race was Marco Andretti, who wound up in the 20th spot. Hunter-Reay started in fourth place, so he didn't have too far to go. Time of the race was 1 hour 51 minutes and 15 seconds. The average speed was 136.848 miles an hour. Margin of victory, a pretty good size, 4.8 seconds, almost 5 second lead. There were 11 lead changes, 29 caution laps. There were only 4 cautions for 29 laps. We had 11 lead changes amongst 6 drivers with Sato, Hunter Ray, Andretti, Vizo, Power, and Justin Wilson as your lap leaders. So on to the next in the event. We'll have more on that. When we get right down to it. But out in Michigan this weekend, of course, let me offer our condolences to the passing of left turn Jason Loeffler, who was killed in a crash last Wednesday at Bridgeport Speedway in New Jersey. Of course, Bridgeport Speedway, my old home dirt track when I was living up there. Guys used to come race there from all over the country. Loeffler was killed after a wreck coming out of turn 4 in the 410 sprint division heat, where he was running second. Something came apart. He hit the wall a couple of times and was rushed to Crozier Chester Hospital, where he didn't make it. Bridgeport Speedway was a place where the local record holder was Jimmy Horton, who had a few NASCAR starts and ARCA starts, but he pretty much owns every track record at the 5/8 mile oval in southern New Jersey. Rusty Wallace went to race there. Kenny Schrader stopped up there a couple times. Seems like whenever some of the Cup guys were driving in Dover, they'd come up on a Saturday night, run at Bridgeport, whether it be a modified or sprint car. And Jason Loeffler, 37 years old, was a father, had a young 5-year-old, a single dad who. And he had a few Cup starts, of course, drove in the Indy 500 as well, and NASCAR lost one of its competitors, I think, at the time. He was running the Nationwide Series also in the 38 car, and went in to run a local event, and things didn't work out. You always hate to hear when drivers get killed, let alone somebody who's actually watched the race on a national level. I know the dirt track circuit, whether it's USAC or NASCAR, and with the modifieds and the sprints and the wheeling series where they run the late models, it's a whole different. They don't have the safety barriers there. The tracks are under a mile long, usually within a half mile to 5/8, nothing real big. And it's where everybody just about tries to get their start and work their way up to where they can make their name on a national level. And Left Turn had done that. As a nickname, everybody used to call me and get Left Turn hats. I see them on sale on the web, I think. As a matter of fact, Casey Kane was flying to Dover with him, and Kane was heading to Pocono, and Dover and Pocono were a week apart, and we were heading to Pocono. I guess Loeffler went down to race at Bridgeport. Of course, probably you'll hear more on that tomorrow night when Low Down and Dirty gives you their weekend wrap-up at Grandview. I wonder if the crew was down at Bridgeport when that happened. saw it posted by Tammy, who used to sit in with me on Monday nights, but due to the many things she's got going on, she hasn't joined me. So tune in tomorrow night at 8:00 for Low Down and Dirty, and I'm sure they'll have some things to say on that. But anyway, we've got our guest coming up in a little bit. Should be calling in any second now of Victor Gonzalez Jr., so we're looking to hear from him. And we'll talk about his entry into the Sprint Cup race at Sonoma. So, but meanwhile, out of Michigan, was Reagan Smith taking home the win for Junior Motorsports in the Tack Slayer Chevy. Kyle Larson came in second. That was a good battle going on. Larson had to make up some ground. Third was Paul Menard. Kyle Busch came in fourth. Trevor Bain, who won last week in Iowa, came in fifth. Brad Sweet came in sixth in the number five. Chris Buescher was seventh. Eighth was Elliott Sadler. Ninth, Nelson Piquet Jr., and tenth was Brian Scott. Girl Johanna Long had a good run. She wound up 18th. One lap down. It's a shame she couldn't get back up on the lead lap. There was a lot of green flag racing. So there were only five cautions for 23 laps and five lead changes amongst the five leaders. Of course, Austin Dillon with the led twice for 61 laps. He led the most lap and started from the pole. It was his third straight pole in the series. Joey Logano had the second amount of laps led. Regan Smith led once for 14 laps. Parker Kligerman was leading when he had to come in the pit for gas, and the other leader was rookie Alex Bowman. So there were three cautions for debris and two for accidents. Five-car accident on lap two between the 2, 20, 60, 79, and 99. And the other one was on lap eight when the 92 car spun. Everything else was debris cautions. The last one coming at lap 99. And that was a quick cleanup. Sent him on a mini shootout for the last 25 or 23 laps. As far as the points go right now, it's Reagan Smith with a double in his lead over Sam Hornish Jr. with 58 points after the win yesterday. I think, where did Hornish finish? Sammy didn't have too good a day, I guess. As a matter of fact, I didn't even notice him on the scoreboard when I was watching the race, so it was kind of tough to see. Where did he finish? 32nd. Had an engine let go. So, and with the weird thing about it was the Alliance Truck Parts 250, and this sponsor was Alliance Truck Parts. Little tongue twister there. Of course, you try to win the race that your car sponsor's running, so but he didn't have that good a day with an engine letting go. So race took an hour and 48 minutes and 50 seconds. Average speed was 137.8 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.3 seconds. So I said Kyle Larson was shagging him down and just ran out of laps. I think we had a little more. He would have got him. Just keep an eye out. Kyle Larson is going to win one of these days, and he's got a few second place finishes already, and he's going to bag one before the year's out. Warrants have been issued out for Mike Harmon for the theft of Jennifer Jo Cobb's car. Well, of course, that still hasn't been found yet. But makes you wonder what's going on with that. So, I don't know. It seems kind of fishy that you steal somebody's equipment. I don't know if it's when they work together. I don't want to. I'm just assuming. Of course, on Facebook's NBS Racing blog, they were saying that maybe she didn't pay him for some equipment, and he figured he'd pull an OJ and go steal it back. But that ain't the way you do it. Go to the court to try to get it back. Don't go into somebody's shop and take off with it. There were surveillance cameras, so warrants will be issued. He hasn't been rearrested yet. So we'll have to wait and see more on the story, as they say. We're still waiting on our guest. Hopefully he remembers. Figured he'd want to come on and talk about his debut in the Sprint Cup Series. And maybe he's running a little behind. I guess sometimes that happens. But anyway, we hope to have him on in a little bit before the show runs out. And talk about that. So anyway, let's get back on with, yesterday's race and in Michigan, of course, the Quicken Loans 400. I picked Junior to win last week, so I don't know. He had an engine let go while he was running up front. But it wound up being Greg Biffle, who won the second race last year at Michigan, giving Ford their 1,000th NASCAR win. That's a fine accomplishment. And actually, we have some audio on Biffle winning the getting the 1,000th win. So here's the best.
For them, and we got to go drive a bunch of their cars and trucks over at the Proving Grounds this week, see some of the great, you know, 2014 and 15 stuff coming to market. And it's really exciting to see all that and all the racing heritage. And to be able to be part of that with the 1,000th win, I think I contributed over 50 of those, which is a small number compared to 1,000, but still sure excited to be the number 1,000.
Yeah, that was pretty good, Biff, getting taking home the checkered flag for the 1,000th win. So, we have some more audio from Biff and about the strategy he used with the number 16 to win today's race. Of course, teammate Carl Edwards was on the pole. So here's Biff talking about some of the strategy he used.
It wasn't as fast off of the green as I needed it to be. You know, right when they threw the green, they got jumbled up, and I got about a 25 car length lead. The 29 was able to run me down to about a 10 car length different deficit. And then my car, the balance started coming in, and I started pushing the envelope a little bit harder and started to drive the car harder. I was kind of taking care of it when they were 25 back. When he started getting closer to 10 back, I started standing like Jackson, standing up on the wheel a little bit. And when he started falling back a little bit, then they told me the 48 was catching him. So I continued to drive as hard as I could. You know, I had a little bit left in the gas tank, but not much. You know, I didn't want to make a mistake, but I was driving pretty hard.
And that's another thing you have to worry about was the fuel. And, of course, Greg driving hard, Jimmy Johnson was passing cars to get to him. And as the laps were winding down, Johnson had gotten up to second place and was reeling Biffle in. But he wound up cutting a right front and wound up hitting the wall. So that allowed the Harvick to move in and take over the second spot. And he was able to hold on from there. I think if he would have had a few more laps, might have caught him. But you only get so many laps in there. Martin Truex was third. Kyle Busch was fourth. Tony Stewart. Good day for Smoke. Finishing in the top five. Sixth was Matt Kenseth. Seventh was Clint Bowyer. Pole sitter Edwards came in eighth. Ninth was Joey Logano. Tenth was Jeff Burton. Danica Patrick won her best finishes in a while, 13th place. And thought she might have made a run at it, but I don't know. Restarts don't seem to be her thing. It seems like when the flag goes green, she gets passed on either side for a bit. And then if she don't get passed too far, she'll hold position. And if the car has a set up for the longer run, then she'll pick up some ground. But started 37th, so you can't complain about the her run. So she's been a little inconsistent. I think she has, what, 8th place win at Daytona, 13th at Martinsville, and now a 13th at Michigan. Michigan being one of the wider tracks, a lot of room to race. I think the only thing you really have to worry about is over revving the engine or maintaining high R's for such a long time. A lot of engines let go. Dale Jr. was one of them, which was he was running up front, so therefore he wasn't too good, because all of a sudden you started to see him drop back. Brad Keselowski was running in the top five or six, ran out of gas, finished 12th, just enough to finish ahead of Danica. Otherwise, Danica would have had a better finish. Paul Menard was 14th. Trevor Bayne wound up at 15th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 16th. Eric Amarola was 17th. Ryan Newman was 18th. 19th was A.J. Allmendinger. The Dinger starting in the 47 car this week, replacing Bobby Labonte, who now is driving the 51 car for James Finch. So I guess JTG going with a different route. They have a five-race deal, I guess, with A.J. Allmendinger. And want to see what he can do. And rounding out the top 20 was Juan Pablo Montoya. Time in the race was 2 hours, 52 minutes and 19 seconds. The average speed was 139.27 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 2.989 seconds. Almost 3 seconds there. There were 88 cautions for 38 laps. There were 22 lead changes amongst 13 drivers. The big lap leader there was Greg Biffle, who not only won the race, led 3 times for 48 laps, so he got the bonus points for needing the most laps. It's kind of, you really need to get up there, run. Kurt Busch led once for 21 laps. I'll tell you, Kurt in that 78 car, who's been running near the front. Of course, he smacked the wall a bit and had to settle for around lap 30. He hit the wall and pancaked the right side and kind of go get some work done to it. Wasn't the same after that, but where did Kurt finish? He was 35th place. Of course, an early wreck involved Jeff Gordon, Bobby Labonte, taking both of them out of position. Casey Kane had tire let go and hit the wall, and that car caught on fire. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had an engine let go, and Jimmy Johnson was the last Hendrick car, and it was running close to the front with the shot of winning. And within 10 laps to go, he smacked the wall and had to come in and get some 4 tires. He had cut a tire, but his hit didn't bring out the caution, so they were able to finish up on the green. But as long as far as the points go, Carl Edwards is in second place in the points. Jimmy Johnson has a 31-point lead over Edwards. Clint Bowyer is in the third spot, 49 back. Kevin Harvick in fourth, 62 back. Matt Kenseth is in fifth, 82 back. Kyle Busch is in sixth, and he's 86 back. So there's a tight race going there amongst those two teammates. Dale Jr. in seventh. He's 91 back, and Biffle with the win. Now in eighth place. That win helps because you have wins, you have bonus points for the seeding after the race, the 26th race, which is in Richmond, once the chase starts. So if you're looking at how that they line up, top 10 make it in points with and the other, your bonus points, your wins give you bonus points for the seeding. And, of course, the ninth place spot goes in the points as a defending champ, Brad Keselowski, who doesn't have a win yet this year, but he's been close a couple times. Stewart, with his win, he's now in 10th, so he's in, but with Paul Menard and Casey Kane behind him in the wild card spot, both Kane and Stewart each have a win, so that one there is going to be the close one to see who makes it in and winds up in the wild card. And you want to be in the top 10, because if you're in the wild card, your win doesn't count for your seeding anyway. You're just in the wild card. It just guarantees you a spot. So we'll have to see how that goes from there. Oh, well, I guess our guest had something come up, but doesn't look like he's going to join us. I hate when that happens. But we were hoping to have Victor Gonzalez Jr. join us here and talk about his history-making NASCAR Sprint Cup start in Sonoma, California. They said he's in the Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, driving the number 36 Chevy for Tommy Baldwin Racing. And we'll have to keep an eye out for him. I guess he's still got to qualify to make the field. You know what? Let me go down and check the points. Was owner points is where it's at. If he's in the owner points, Tommy Baldwin, car number 36. Alan Heinke is listed as the owner of the 36 car, and it's in the 35th spot, so that might be the cutoff as far as making the race. Actually, they changed that rule. I think that's right. So I would only be a rainout. If he can make it on time, he'd have to qualify on time to make it in the race anyway. But Biffle's win of the Quicken Loans 400 is 19th in 381 starts. And this was the 1,000th victory for Ford in all of the NASCAR divisions they ran, Sprint Cup Nationwide and the Camping World Truck Series. So combined 1,000 NASCAR wins. Biffle's first win in 6th top 10 this year. His 4th victory and 13th top 10 in 21 races at Michigan International Speedway. And now back-to-back at Michigan. Harvick, 9th top 10 finish in 25 races at Michigan. It's a 7th top 10 this year, including 2 wins. And Martin Truex Jr. posted his 5th top 10 in 15 races at Michigan. So that pretty much sets that up. Of course, Jack Roush had to talk about his years. We got some audio from the Cat in the Hat talking about his years working with Ford, because he's been a Ford owner from the get-go, so been a lot of success with Ford, and here is Jack.
And, as I said to start with, it humbles me that I've been part of something that's been going on for half a century, which is nearly twice as long as I've been involved with NASCAR, and that Ford is, there have been a lot of great teams, a lot of great drivers, a lot of great engine builders that have contributed to Ford's success, and I'm glad, just proud and honored to be part of that.
The Cat in the Hat, Jack Roush. And
There's Regan Smith on how his crew chief made the calls to win the race.
It you know, it was a situation where, you know, Greg made some really good adjustments, made some great pit calls to get us to track position, get us up front. We caught a little bit of a break with a timely caution there, which helped our track position to play out the way we needed it to. And once it was up there, then it was you know, then it was a situation of holding off the 32.
And that's Saturday's nationwide race winner, Regan Smith. And here's second place. Here's Dale Jr. talk about more success this coming year, about acquiring Regan Smith to drive his car for him this year.
We've had some options to fill a seat, you know, once a year for the last 3 or 4 years, and Regan's always been on the table in conversation. Whether he had, you know, whether he could even have done it, we don't know. But I had actually talked to him at a driver's intro. I think it was here.
Second race
here last year or something, about doing something. So we were kind of thinking even before he drove our car at the end of the season on the Cup side. So, you know, I knew he had some really good skills and just was in a place where it was difficult for that to shine through. And it was difficult to really see what he was capable of doing.
Dale Jr. talking about his driver of the number 7 Chevrolet in the Nationwide Series. Of course, you remember that was Danica Patrick's car while she was driving in the Nationwide Series. And lo and behold, he's running up for the championship. And Danica's already moved on to the Cup Series. I think maybe another year down there would have got a little better, maybe a win coming back. But this is Kyle Larson in the press conference talking about almost going down the lap to come back for a second place finish in that Nationwide race.
Yeah, it was a good day. I definitely didn't think we had a second place car in the beginning of that race. I think we were in danger of going a lap down there the first run. But Trent Owens worked on the car quite a bit and to help me get a little bit tighter into the corner, but a lot freer coming off. And, you know, we got it good, and then we came in to just put fuel only in, and it got me loose there really bad for a couple laps, but it came to me, and we were really good there at the end. Could chase down Regan a little bit down the front stretch with the draft, but I'd go a little too tight off of 2, and would have to get out of the throttle, and he'd get away from me down the back stretch.
Here's Kyle Larson. When they asked about when he's getting,
I think it's coming soon. We're getting better every week. You know, now that I'm finally finishing some races and not tearing up cars, seems like we have been in the top 10 the last 5 races and keep getting a little bit better. So it'd been nice to get it today for Jason Leffler and Harry Scott. He's really, really close to Jason. So, but like I said, it's coming soon. I think once we go to the tracks for a second time this year, I should hopefully start out the races a little bit faster and hopefully maintain track position. So I don't have to work so hard, but like I said, it's coming soon.
Of course, Jason Leffler used to drive for Turner Scott Motorsports, and like I said before, he lost his life last Wednesday in a 410 sprint race in Bridgeport, New Jersey, one of my old neighborhood dirt track from back in the day. So just goes to show you, it can come at any time, at any place. As a matter of fact, I don't remember too many fatalities at Bridgeport. And I've known people that race there. As a matter of fact, I've tried to get him on the show, but he didn't want to come on and talk about it. But guy used to race in there, you know, your typical weekly dirt track, running either modified. He used to run this, what they call street stocks back then, which was something a little better than an enduro car. had more work done to it than an enduro car, but just one of those deals. I guess we're not going to hear from Victor, so I don't know, maybe something come up. You know, he's got some time till the end of the show. Maybe he's running awfully late, so. But anyway, on to Sonoma, first road course race of the year for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Of course, they only run two. Matter of fact, the Nationwide will be out at Road America this coming Saturday for their first road course of the year. So it's two road courses. Of course, Nationwide staying in the Midwest, and the Cup Series heading down to wine country. I know some of the car owners have wineries out there. I think, well, I know Richard Childress has one. I don't know if it's out there in Carolina, but Mario Andretti has his winery out there as well. And I know Jeff Gordon had signed with a winery to have some, produce some Jeff Gordon wine, but I don't know if that's still going on. Maybe they can get some of that going around. Anyway, first of the road courses. It used to be, just have to watch out for the road course ringers, but nowadays, you know, last year, who won? Clint Bowyer won at Sonoma, and you don't think of him as a road course ringer. Stewart, yeah. Jeff Gordon, yeah, he's won a lot at Sonoma. Jimmy Johnson has his fair share. Who else? Juan Pablo Montoya, definitely a road course driver, especially driving Formula One and in the kart series where they were strictly mainly road courses. But I guess you'll start to see Boris said he should be running this weekend. Robbie Gordon's going to run that. I think he's done with NASCAR. He hasn't had that good of luck there. And you can look for Marcus Ambrose. Can't count him out making his name on the road course. He has his Nationwide road course run. I think, does he have a sprint car road course run? I don't know. Well, let me, if we have a caller on the line, I guess let me pick up, I guess this is Victor Gonzalez Jr. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm great to be in the show.
I'm glad to have you. You're making history this weekend, and I figured I got the release from your PR guy, and I said, well, let me see if I can book him on the show. And
it's going to be a great weekend, definitely. It's going to be a lot of exciting things happening. It's my first start in the Sprint Cup series, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. I just want to race smart and bring the car home and try to get as much points as I can for the team and try to get a good position. I think we can be definitely a top 25 car. If we can stretch the strategy, depends, top 20 or even top 15, but it just depends. Like, everybody in the Spring Cup is such a good drivers, you know. But I'm looking forward, definitely, for a great weekend.
Well, hopefully you can do that. How did you get did you manage to work, get the deal with Tommy Baldwin to drive in this race this weekend?
Everything started with Scott Cipidelli, who was my crew chief last year when I raced for Toyota and IRB for Robbie Benson. And we click up, you know, we got a great relationship. It's a great crew chief. And I was supposed to go to Europe to race. And the plans didn't, like, fit up, you know. So I talked to him and said, hey, man, you should go to and do a cup race. You're ready. And I was like, yeah, right. Let's talk about it. But no, he called Tommy Baldwin, and we start talking and start from there. I met him at Fontana in California. But it was just simply a talk, you know. It's like, hey, it's my resume. And Scott just talked, you know, it's like, hey, Scott has, Tommy says, like, hey, Scott has said many great things about you and your driving, and let's talk to try to put something together, and the rest is history, pretty much.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, you've got NASCAR experience. You ran Cirque de Gilles Villeneuve, Montreal. You run the Road America, which is probably a bigger road course than anything NASCAR normally runs in the nationwide. You had in Watkins Glen, so I think you pretty much have all the NASCAR road courses covered, except for Sonoma.
Yeah, that's the only thing I have. I've never raced in Sonoma before, but it was a big challenge, even though to get my confirmation, to get my cup license. Everything is so different from nationwide. And, you know, I have to say thanks to NASCAR, Mr. Brett Vodan, who is in charge of licensing. And I talk, hey, Mr. Vodan, I would like to race with Mr. Tommy Baldwin in Sonoma. He says, hey, Victor, you have to send me your resume again. I was like, what? I already got 7 starts in low course and nationwide. We've been competitive, but it's just a procedure, you know. And because everything on the cup side is way bigger, but I'm learning, and definitely I'm blessed that NASCAR gave me opportunity. I'm the first driver for the Caribbean in to get my cup license. To get a cup license, and many, I don't know, like, there's a few Hispanic drivers. There are not that many that have reached to this level, so I feel really fortunate, for sure.
Yeah, well, Juan Pablo Montoya is one everybody is familiar with, who, has, of course, been running Formula One and IndyCar and kart and all that, has a big name, but he's from Colombia, so you're from a different part of the world. You know, well, you're originally from Puerto Rico, and now you live in the Dominican Republic?
Yes, sir. It's definitely different cultures. You know, Juan Pablo's from Colombia, it's from South America. Definitely we all speak Spanish, but it's just a different culture. But Juan Pablo's a hell of a race car driver. And, you know, just being there and have the opportunity to start a race, and, you know, I feel really lucky. We did a test 2 weeks ago in VIR, and everything was really good. I mean, we got a good car. We got a good package. But people need to realize and understand that in Cup, you got the huge teams like Hendrick, Gibbs, RCR, just to name a few.
There's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. There's. I mean, the difference between budgets are, like, if I said the numbers, it's scary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people need to appreciate more the small teams that we get there and we fought. And we try to get as much positions as we can because the money is so important for the teams to keep going. But, I mean, we got a great group of guys. My crew chief is going to be Joe Lax. He used to be working with Hendrix for 15 years, and he used to be Adrian Fernandez, crew chief, when he was doing Bush for Hendrix. Okay. So he used to work with Spanish, so that was awesome.
Well, that's at least you have an experienced crew chief. You know, I know, you know, coming, do they have many racetracks in the Dominican Republic? I know they're famous for cigars. I love smoking my Fuentes.
Yeah, but I mean, I do, my main base is Dominican Republic because I do all the development for Toyota and Lexus. But they got an awesome touring car series. And we race all Central America. And many drivers from Europe are just flying down there. I mean, they get hired by the manufacturers to drive. And it's, I mean, people will be amazed how competitive and how much technology are racing down there in touring cars.
Oh, I could imagine. I think NASCAR stock cars are probably some of the more primitive cars you'll ever drive as far as technology goes.
Yeah, yes, sir. But they're difficult cars to drive. You appreciate for sure. I mean, these drivers that race week in, week out at this level, sprint car and sprint cup, they're used to drive these cars, but they're really heavy. They're like, with driver and fuel, weigh like 3520. We got close to 920 horsepower. And it just like, the wheel is just 15-inch and 10-inch wide. That's it. So it's really tricky. You have to really try to conserve the tires, conserve the brakes, save fuel. You know, this is the crew chief. Always, like, go fast, save fuel, take care of the car. Like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I cannot complain. Like, right now I'm living a dream for sure.
Well, that's for sure. At least you're going to have an experienced pit crew to pit the car, and I think that's where a lot of positions are going to be won or lost is on pit road now. I know when they run the road courses, they try to limit them to maybe three pit stops every 30 laps or so. This way you don't have to worry about running out of gas. And that, depending on, you know, how the cautions, whether it's a corner caution or a full course caution. But sometimes
sure.
I like to stick to the strategy because of the pit stops, because on a road course it's hard to go a lap down if you pit where on the bigger, faster ovals, or even the smaller ovals, is, you know, you can go laps down on a pit stop. So they try to, you know, you and your crew chief work on a strategy yet, or is that something you're going to save for the weekend?
No, I mean, we got a couple of scenarios that we already have talked about. But we'll see. I mean, it just, you have to take care of the car. You know, it just depends how many gels we got. But definitely, I don't know. I mean, three-stop race for sure. It just depends. But it's going to be really tricky because Sonoma has so much elevation changes that if you run out of fuel, you're done. So
definitely.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on for sure. But now with the fuel injection system, we're working in new ways to save fuel. I'm new on this, but on the test we were working new software that when you go below some RPMs, the engines will shut down automatically, so you save fuel. So, but we'll see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting race for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you lots of luck on in your debut because we said you had a bunch of crazy guys out there that, you know, you got big cars on a narrow track for the most part, and a lot of that comes into braking and steering. And if you, you know, run a lot of road courses, and you competed against the, you know, in the Nationwide Series with the bigger cars, and that's a plus. So I'm glad that you know, you were able to land this. You know, every time the NASCAR, you figure you're going to be racing with a, you know, talking about people, international series. You have yourself from the Dominican Republic. You have Juan Pablo from Colombia. You have Marcus Ambrose from Australia, you know. Plus a few Canadians and Americans, you know.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. And but, I mean, thank God NASCAR expanding to new markets. And for sure, if I can bring a new Hispanic market to NASCAR, it's going to be good for me, for sure, to gain more sponsors and for NASCAR to get more fans.
That's the way it hopes to work out. Because, you know, you need the sponsors to run, and NASCAR always could use new fans, especially if they want to grow. And I know they used to run down in Mexico City a couple of years with the Nationwide Series, and they used to draw a big crowd, 100,000 people for a Nationwide race. And up here, a Nationwide race is like half the grandstands compared to a Sprint Cup race.
Yeah,
so,
no, I mean, Hispanics are great fans, and for sure, California have a great Hispanic, a lot of Hispanic leagues in California, and hopefully, for sure, we're going to do as much marketing to try to take them to the track and cheer us up, you know? So, but again, I mean, it's going to be a tough race, and we know that. It's going to be a tough field, for sure, but it's 3 hours, so anything can happen.
And yeah, that's for sure. And who's sponsoring you for the race? Same ones that he has already?
Yeah. Right now, the Dominican Republic is helping me a lot, and Mobile One, and we're still working with some others. But so far, they're being really grateful with me, and for sure appreciate that help. But we want to expand, so let's see what happens.
Well, we wish you lots of luck, and thanks. Oh, and yeah, you said you tested at VIR. That's pretty much near me. I'm not too far from Bristol, and that's like between me and Richmond. How'd you like driving on that course for testing?
It was exciting, for sure. We were hitting 181 at the end of the straightaway, so it's really fast in this course. I learned a lot. I learned about the power, how to attack the gas pedal, how to work in the brakes, but it was great. I mean, but nothing, we don't learn that much that we can bring to Sonoma because everything is different, but I learned how to drive the car, so for sure that was a big plus for me.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the main thing is because get some time in the car before you go out to race this weekend. Well, Victor, thanks again for coming on a short notice. I appreciated it, and you know, anytime you want to come back on, if your PR rep keeps me in his mail list, we'll have you back on.
No, for sure now, and you got a new fan here too. So thanks a lot for giving me a chance to talk, and definitely we'll stay in touch.
All right, I appreciate it. You take care now, and have a real good race this weekend. And talk about it next Monday, and hopefully you'll do real good.
You got it, sir.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. He made it in. Victor Gonzalez Jr. making his Sprint Cup debut. Hails from the Dominican Republic, so it should be an interesting race this weekend. Now I got to root for somebody else. I always like having new guests on the show, and I saw that he was going to compete this weekend in today's email. I figured we'll get him on and get him to talk about his debut, and then who knows, we'll have coming back post racing and see how he enjoyed driving in the Cup Series. Anyway, time to make picks for the event. Let's see, who do I want to win this week? Of course, my guest, but let's be a little realistic. Hey, you know how I'm not going to rule out? Maybe I ought to rule out. Look into who finished where last year. I'm going to go with Kurt Busch. It was a strange year for winners. Figure Clint won. Kurt Busch has been running real well and hasn't had a decent finish. Of course, last year he was in the 51, took it to a third. This year he's in the 78, which is a better car. I think that's who I'm going to go with this week. Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this week's guest. We'll see you all next week after Sonoma. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night and good racing.